Matthew chapter 11, an important passage. It remains one of the most mystifying missing person cases in the FBI files. The year was 1930, the date August 15th. On that day, a 45-year-old man by the name of Joseph Crater, an influential man in New York City, for you see, he was a New York State Supreme Court justice. He went out to eat with his friends, and they enjoyed an Italian meal together. Lasagna, spaghetti, and other Italian goodies. He then bid his friends goodbye, went out to the sidewalk, hailed a taxi cab, and this Joseph Crater, that New York State Supreme Court judge, was never seen or heard from again. The FBI, of course, immediately became involved. They suspected perhaps it was a kidnapping from somebody who held a judicial grudge against him. But that didn't really seem to pan out. They then suspected mafia activity, because Judge Crater was an enemy of the mafia. But again, that didn't seem to pan out. There is one clue, though, that remains to this day. Although he was never heard from again verbally, when his wife got home that night and went into their apartment, there on the table was a large check made out to her and a note in his handwriting attached to the check that simply said, "I am very, very tired. Love, Joe." That was the last communication anyone had with him. The question is, was it just the comment that he made at the end of a particularly wearying and trying day? Or was it an epitaph that he was writing, saying, "I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I'm weary"? To this day, we don't know. But presently, it is believed that that was a suicide note that he wrote off in a taxi cab to who knows where and took his own life because weariness had weighted his soul. I think all of us from time to time can relate to that kind of weariness. I think all of us feel fatigue from time to time. Now, I'm not talking so much about physical fatigue, the kind of fatigue you feel after mowing a lawn or playing a set of tennis. I mean, you can get tired just from sitting there, just from living. In an average day, listen to this. If you are an average person of average weight, here is what you will go through physically in a 24-hour period. Your heart will beat 103,689 times. In a single day, 103,689 times. And your blood will travel 168 million miles in one day. As your heart is beating, pumping out approximately 4 ounces per beat, going through all the veins and arteries and capillaries, man, it covers some territory, 168 million miles in a single day. You breathe 23,040 times. In and out, exhaling 23,000 plus times. Inhaling 438 cubic feet of air. As you take in to your stomach 3.5 pounds of food. That's how much the average person eats. I'm at about 14 pounds. You drink in 2.9 quarts of liquid, you lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. That interests me. If you lose less than a pound of waste and you take in 3.5 pounds of food, interesting. The average person speaks 4,800 words a day. Actually, another statistic, they have found that females actually speak closer to 7,000 words a day. That is factual. You move 750 muscles in 24 hours, and you exercise approximately 7 million brain cells in 24 hours. Now, that varies greatly. You know, just living, man, you're expending all kinds of energy. Your body is really working and really going through all kinds of growing and eliminating and taking and breathing, and certainly that can be taxing and fatiguing. But the kind of weariness and fatigue that we're speaking of this morning is not physical fatigue. It's much more serious. It's the kind of weariness that you feel when you just don't know if you can go on another day. When a father feels frustration because his child is not doing what the child knows that he should, what the father knows that he could. When a friend has abandoned you, misunderstood you, made accusation against you. When a husband or a wife has rejected you. When a boss, an employer, no longer appreciates you and cans you. Rejection. Depression. It's that kind of weariness that can take a toll on the most seemingly successful individual, like a Joseph Crater. You finally conclude, I am very, very weary. There is one person, however, in the history of humanity that came and declared this word, come to me, all ye that are weary. How I appreciate that. The Lord of the universe invited anyone who is weary to come to Him. Come unto me, all you that are weary. Now, if I was the Lord, man, I don't know if I was in His position, if I would make that kind of invitation, that kind of proclamation. Keep in mind, in Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel is presenting Jesus as King. And in the first 11 chapters up to this point, up to this verse, He has been declaring, along with His disciples, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is here for you. And He is speaking to the nation corporately, saying, turn to me. Repent from where you've been at previously. The kingdom of heaven can be enjoyed presently. But as we are seeing as we go through this gospel, the people weren't responding. They would be rejecting His invitation to make Him king. They would be eventually be articulating, we will not have this man rule over us. Away with him. They had rejected Him. And here in chapter 11 and chapter 12, that rejection is coming into very clear focus. Rejecting Jesus. So no longer now is He speaking to a nation corporately saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now Jesus is speaking to individuals personally. And He says, come to me. any that are weary, any that are laboring, and that's the word for labor there. If you have a newer translation, it probably paraphrases or translates that as being weary. Come unto me, all you that are weary or laboring. Now he's speaking to people personally. Would you have called that group of people? I'm not sure I would have. If I was giving an invitation to people, I think I'd say, come unto me, all you that are happy. Everybody that's happy, let's celebrate life together, man. Let's rejoice. Let's lift up each other's spirits. I don't think that I would have said, come unto me, all you that are laboring and weary, feeling as though you're depressed to the point of death, despairing. Despairing because of divorce or disease or death or depression. Come unto me. That's who I want, Jesus is saying. Come to me, you that are weary. I would have said, come to me, you that are happy. Or maybe I would say, come unto me, all you that are wealthy. And then let's celebrate your wealth. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. We'll party. Like Malcolm Forbes over in wherever he went, Tunisia, spending millions of dollars celebrating his 70th birthday. Maybe I would have said something like that. Not Jesus. He didn't say, come unto me, all you that are wealthy. He said, come to me, all you that are weary. I might have said, come unto me, all you that are wise. And let's dialogue and philosophize and interact intellectually. But not Jesus. The personal invitation that he extended to people individually after the nation rejected him corporately, he says, now, anyone who is weary, come to me. Anyone. That's my people, the weary ones. Come to me. I love it that Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say, run to me. Because so often in my weariness, I can't run. I can stumble to him or crawl before him. But man, he didn't say, run to me, all you that are laboring, that are weary, and I will give you rest. He said, just come to me. You don't have to run energetically or enthusiastically or go through some kind of gyrations physically or spiritually. Just come to me. He didn't say, commit to me, all you that are weary, and I'll give you rest. Man, get serious about following me. Turn away from that stuff. Get it together. Clean up your life. That's not what he said. He didn't say, commit to me and be radical. He didn't say, run to me with all kinds of enthusiasm and energy. He just simply said, come to me. Notice he said, come to me. He didn't say, go to church. He didn't say, hear a sermon. He didn't say, get some counseling. He didn't say, read a book. He said, come to me. Personally. And you can do that right where you're sitting, right now, presently. Any of you who feel weary, tired, you don't have to wait until tomorrow morning to have devotions to come to him. You don't even have to come back tonight and celebrate communion. right where you're at this very moment, hear the words of Jesus to every one of us. Come to me. He's not requesting a burst of energy. He's not requiring a sacrificial commitment to show your sincerity. He's extending an invitation with great simplicity. Right now, any of you who are feeling fatigued, hear the word of Jesus. Come to me. All ye, absolutely inclusive, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What causes this laboring, this wearying? The best commentary on the Bible, of course, is the Bible. Let me read to you, or you can turn there quickly if you wish, but let me read to you from Exodus chapter 5, and we'll find what laboring really is all about, this wearying kind of laboring. Why do we get burdened? Well, the people of Israel, at this point in Exodus, were down in Egypt. Why were they there? 400 years previously, they had left the land of promise. There was famine in the land, dry times, difficult days. And they went down into Egypt where there was plenty to eat and all kinds of prosperity. And they lived there for a while, enjoying the abundance and the prosperity, and things were going quite well for a while, but suddenly the situation changed when one of the pharaohs died and a new pharaoh came up in his place and looked at these Jewish people who were now camped in Israel and said, man, we got to control them. How? We'll enslave them. We will enslave them. And for hundreds of years, the people of God were enslaved by the Egyptians. There in Egypt, by the billions, they baked bricks in the blistering, burning sun. So many bricks were baked in order to construct the pyramids and monuments for Pharaoh. These Israelites baked so many bricks that you could construct a wall with the bricks they baked. From Los Angeles to New York City. And that wall would be 10 feet high and 5 feet thick. Ladies, you think you do a lot of baking. I mean, they were baking bricks and working hard and being beaten. Moses then was raised up. Oh, you know the story, as the people cried out to the Lord. Moses said, let my people go, saith the Lord. Pharaoh said, no way, Jose. In verse 4 of chapter 5, the king of Egypt said, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you back unto your burdens. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Straw was used in the bricks to hold the brick together. It was provided previously by the taskmasters. But now Pharaoh says, man, let them find their own straw. And verse 8, the tail of the bricks which they did make hitherfor, you shall lay upon them, you shall not diminish any thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to God. Verse 9, let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein. Let them not regard these vain words. The word labor used in Exodus chapter 5 is the defining word for the word labor that Jesus uses in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that are laboring, weary from labor. Pharaoh has got you laboring. What does Pharaoh speak of? What is Egypt a symbol of? The world. Here you thought, man, I'm going to labor for this career. I'm going to work hard for this material thing. And for a while it seemed enjoyable. It seemed wonderful. Just like Israel for a while was prospering in Egypt. But suddenly it turns against you. And the very thing that you were working for, investing in, the very thing you thought would be wonderful is now a taskmaster, cracking the whip and burdening you. And you're enslaved to it. Come to me, the Lord says. Come to me. All that are laboring, weary from labor, you've realized that Pharaoh is a fake. That the world is not where it's at. That things will not bring happiness. That it's a trick. It's a trap. It didn't work out. There was an article. You might have saw it recently concerning a situation in Illinois' Terre Haute. There was a lady who had a skunk that was living in her basement. And she was chagrined when she discovered it. So she called the animal control people there in Illinois. And the guy said, hey, it's very simple. Just open the door of your basement and then leave a trail of crumbs going from the door of your basement out off, you know, outside and into the woods behind your house. Made sense. So she did it. She opened the door of the basement. She left a trail of breadcrumbs and so forth going out into the woods. 4 hours later, she called back and said to this guy, now I've got two skunks in my basement. Things don't always work out the way you thought it would. Instead of the skunk going out, another skunk came in. You know, sometimes that's what happens. Things stink. We think, oh, I'm going to be so happy when I get this accomplished, when I make this goal, when I get this business or that toy or whatever it might be, and you labor, and finally you say, I'm weary. It's not working the way that the commercial said it would. The way I thought it would. I'm weary. The Pharaoh which once said, come and dwell in the land of Goshen, has now turned against me. And now I'm making bricks by the billions and I'm miserable. I have more things than ever before. More success than I ever thought was possible. But I'm miserable internally. I'm laboring. I'm weary. Jesus said, come to me. Not just those that are laboring from Pharaoh, the world. But he also used another word. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Not just Pharaoh, but failure. What does it mean to be heavy laden? Again, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Mark down this verse. You can look it up later if you wish. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a people that have forsaken me, the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness therein, but there are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned, strangers devour it, you have been overthrown by strangers. The Lord here says to His people Israel, you're beat up and bruised and hurting and desolate and destroyed because you have been laden, loaded with iniquity. You see, it's not just Pharaoh who labors us, but it is sin, folly, that ladens us. That'll make you tired, gang. Could I share with you what David declared? David went through a season of sin on more than one occasion. In one of his seasons of sin, he wrote this psalm. Oh, there is no soundness in my flesh. There is neither any rest in my bones because of sin. My iniquities are gone over my head. They are a heavy burden, too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am wearied. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore and broken. And he goes on and on in Psalm 38 to describe vividly the laden, the load of sin, and how it wore him out mentally and spiritually and physically. You might have saw in USA Today on Friday, a survey was done by 17 Magazine. And in that magazine, it stated that 70% of our kids, by the time they're 18, will have had sexual intercourse. 70%. And as that survey was being given and conclusions were being drawn in the editorial page, our sex educators stated that really the problem is beyond solution other than teaching our kids about condoms. And here is the leaders of our educational community saying the solution is not teaching our kids about right and wrong, but rather about AIDS prevention. That's tragic. Because what they fail to understand is what the Word of God through David in Psalm 38 is articulating. That is, sin, whether you get AIDS or not, pregnant or not, that's not the issue. It will wear you out. It destroys the soul. That's what the Scriptures declare. It erodes the soul. Your mind becomes confused. Your soul becomes heavy. Your personality is no longer what it once was or what it could have been in totality. The erosion of sin, the destruction of sin, that's the issue. It's not VD or AIDS or pregnancy. The issue is what David declared, my bones ache, my heart is heavy, I am weary. I am heavy laden with iniquity. What does Jesus say? Whether you've been seduced and sucked into Pharaoh's mentality, working for the world, and you found it to be nothing but bricks, labor, weariness, or whether you've been heavy laden with iniquity, you've blown it. Others might not even know about it, but inside you are aware of it. Man, I am laden with iniquity. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. All that are laboring under Pharaoh, that are laden by folly, come to me. And he says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Not coming down on you. Not being angry with you, but rather giving refreshment to you. That's my desire. If you'll just come to me where you're sitting right now, presently, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, not only come to me, but he says, yoke with me. Take my yoke upon you. Myron Osberger, the brilliant New Testament scholar, he tells of a lovely legend that seems to have perhaps some basis in history. I wouldn't be dogmatic. I wouldn't bet on it. But Augsburger says that there's a legend passed down from history that the carpenter shop in which Jesus worked with his father Joseph specialized in making yokes. And there was a sign on the door of the shop that said, "The best fitting yokes made here." It wouldn't surprise me if Jesus, as a carpenter, because in that day it was the carpenters who made the yokes, and the word that describes Joseph for carpenter is a word that we'll get into a little bit later, but it describes not so much a framer, but rather one who would make furniture and yokes and other implements and instruments, more of a finished carpenter. But be that as it may, yokes were made by carpenters, and they were custom designed to fit the oxen of the person who was desiring the yoke to be made. Two oxen hooked up together, and the yoke was designed for each oxen. Now, there was always a lead oxen. There was a leader and a follower. And the yoke was designed in such a way that the leader would be pulling the greater weight. And the follower, the assister, was just intended to go along in the flow. But sometimes oxen, like humans, were stupid. And they would try and fight against the lead oxen, and they'd bump against that yoke, and they would get bruised if the yoke didn't fit right. Jesus here uses that analogy, which was known to those people, and said, not only come to me, but take my yoke upon you. Yoke with me. Let me be the lead oxen. Go with the flow. Don't try and figure it out or change my direction. Let me lead you. The story is told of a battleship that was cruising off out in the Atlantic Ocean, the northern coasts of Maine. And as the battleship on one stormy evening was cruising north, the commander on the deck was notified, "Sir, there's a light ahead. Oncoming vessel." The commander said, "Signal the oncoming vessel. Change your course 10 degrees to the west." And they signaled. And then the light signaled back, "Change your course 10 degrees to the east." The commander said, "Signal again, change your course 10 degrees to the west. I am an admiral." And the light flashed back, "Change your course 10 degrees to the east. I am a seaman third class." Well, this time, the commander, the admiral, was incensed. "Flash them yet again. Change your course 10 degrees to the west. I am a battleship." And the light came back. "Change your course 10 degrees to the east. I am a lighthouse." Jesus would say to us, as we say, "Lord, let's go here." And he says, "No, we're going there. Do you know who I am?" And he would say, "Do you know who I am? I'm the light of the world, the rock of your salvation, the creator and sustainer of your soul. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who knows the beginning from the end. Trust me. Don't try and direct me. Don't try and push me. Don't try and change me. Trust me. If you want rest in your souls, what must you do? Take His yoke upon you. Yoke with me. Go with the flow. Don't try and manipulate me, maneuver me, go against me. Flow with me. I am a lighthouse. I know where it's at. If you really want to be rested and relaxed, you learn to go with the flow. You don't shake your fist and ask why. You don't seek to change His course by manipulating through praise or prayer or anything else. You say, Lord, I trust You. I take Your yoke upon me. You're the lead oxen here. And I submit to You willingly. You can be the most relaxed person in the world if that's your mindset. Come to me, He says. Then yoke with me. And finally, the third thing that will bring us rest. Come to me, yoke with me. Then He says, learn of me. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Learn of me. Jesus says, learn of me, you'll be delighted what you see. This is the only autobiographical statement that Jesus ever makes concerning His own personality. The only time He describes His personality is right here in Matthew 11. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly. He didn't say, learn of me, because I am mighty and demanding. Learn of me, because I am powerful and prominent. Oh, He is mighty. He is powerful. But He identifies His personality saying, learn of me, and what you find about me will be refreshing to you. I am meek. What is meekness? The word meek is praus in the Greek. It means literally strength under control. Picture, if you would, a big old gentle Saint Bernard dog. And all these little yappy chihuahuas in the neighborhood are yapping at this big Saint Bernard and snapping at his feet. And he just kind of looks at these little yappers and snappers, you know, and just kind of keeps on going along. You know, he could open his mouth and chomp them down. He could take his paw and knock them away. But the old Saint Bernard, powerful. Yes. Strength, no doubt. Shows meekness. Let them yap. Little chihuahuas. And he might even give them a lick or two. He might even help them out if they get stuck in a mousetrap. The big old Saint Bernard, you see. That's the word meekness, praus. It's describing really a horse that has been broken. Strength that is under control. A Saint Bernard that puts up with the yappers and the snappers, the biters. Jesus said, if you learn of me, you'll be delighted what you discover. I am meek like that Saint Bernard and lowly in heart. Not haughty, not demanding, not pushy, but lowly. And you'll find rest in your souls. I tell you, gang, when I study the Scriptures and learn of Jesus, I always go away amazed at His goodness, at His grace, at His kindness, at His gentleness, at His praus, His meekness, strength under control. And He says, come to me. Come to me, you who have been burned out by Pharaoh. You have been in the folly of sin. Come to me right now, presently. Yoke with me. Don't try and maneuver me, steer me, demand from me. Just go with the flow. Take my yoke upon you. yoke with me, and learn of me. The result? You will find rest. Shabbat. Sabbath. You'll find Sabbath in your souls. You'll find what your heart is craving for. Peace. Sabbath. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. For you students, the scripture, jot down in your margins. We don't have time to look at it right now. Acts chapter 15. What should we do, they said there in Acts 15, about these Gentiles getting converted? Should they follow the laws and the rituals and be circumcised? And then they said, no, let us not put upon them a yoke which we could not bear. My yoke, Jesus said, is easy. Not legalism, not religion, not ritual, not a bunch of jive religiously, but Jesus personally. They said, what must we do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. One thing, that you believe on Him whom the Father hath sent. It's not religion, it's relationship. It's not Judaism, it's Jesus. It's not the law, it's the Lord. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Sometimes I hear people saying, oh, the burden of the Lord. I'm so burdened. It's so tough being a servant. It's so tough being a brother. It's so tough being a musician. It's so tough being a witness. It's so tough being a worker. Then it's not His burden, because His burden is light. Man, if what I'm doing is tough and wearisome, then I know that it's not the Lord who has placed upon me that burden. Somebody else has, or I've done it, but it's not from Him. His burden is easy. His load is light. I was studying this morning. Mary was the first of our kids to get up. She came cruising out to the front room where I was reading. Daddy, what you doing? She said. She just turned three. And I said, well, I'm getting ready to preach. I said, do you know what preaching is, Mary? And she says, yeah. Telling people stuff so they won't get hurt. And I jotted that quote down for my next pastor's conference. That's exactly what it is. Telling people stuff so they won't get hurt. Jesus would say to you today, come to me. Don't labor under the burdens of Pharaoh. You'll be wearied. Don't become laden under the bondage of iniquity. It'll sap your energy. Don't become enslaved by the mentality of the Pharisees, that yoke which they couldn't even keep. Don't let anybody put a religious trip on you. But rather, come to me, yoke with me, learn of me, and you'll find rest in your souls. That's good stuff. That's a good, simple, profound word that Jesus shared with us. Right now where you're sitting, come to Jesus. Yoke with Jesus. Keep on learning of Jesus. You'll find rest in your soul. Lord, I thank You that You simplified things so radically. I don't know why we keep going back into the yoke of the Pharisees, into the bondage of the Pharaohs, into the heaviness of our own iniquity. But I pray, Lord, that even right now, at this moment,
that as we sit here on this first day of this new week, that Lord, those of us who feel wearied for whatever reason might return to You, Jesus, personally. Let us hear Your heart, Lord. Let us obey Your word. Lord, we make no commitments. We go through no gyrations. We just take You at Your word this morning that we can come to You. And I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do that right now. I don't know what's been weighing you down. What's been enslaving you? Or what's been haunting you from your sins of this week or last month or 10 years ago? But Jesus would say, come right now. Right now. Where you're sitting. Talk to Him. Come to Him. Agree to flow with Him. Take His yoke upon you. Think about Him. Learn of Him. And even now, you'll find rest.